Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the 49ers edition of The Grueling Truth. I'm your host, Matt Anderscavage, and it is my privilege to introduce my co-host, former 49ers running back and Super Bowl 29 champion, Dexter Carter.
Hey, Matt, how you doing?
Good, good. Good to have you on the show.
Hey, it's a pleasure being here, man. Looking forward to talking some football tonight.
Excellent. Well, this is our inaugural episode for the 49ers edition of The Grueling Truth, and we're looking to keep everyone up to speed on current 49er news, talk lots of classic 49er moments, and also give the audience a player's point of view. And so we're going to start off talking about what's going on currently with the OTAs and minicamp. We've been hearing a lot about Colin Kaepernick's rising confidence, Vernon Davis's improved health, and seems like he's got a bit of a throwback with his speed. And also, what Torrey Smith brings to the offense. What have you been hearing, Dexter?
You know, as everybody can see, we're missing Carlos Hyde in OTAs, but that's okay because Carlos is going to get healthy, and he's going to be back in the lineup, and he's going to have a tremendous role in the zone blocking, you know, scheme offense that we've got. But Vernon Davis, speed is what it was when he came out of the league, out of college into the league, and putting this new offensive system in play, it's going to open up a lane for him down the field. Torrey Smith is going to create lanes for Davis and openings for Anquan Boldin. So I believe the 49ers fans need to strap on their seatbelt because with Cap improving based on his skill set in this new system and offseason having a productive offseason, it's going to be exciting. And as we talk further about the zone blocking scheme and the new offense, you'll see why the 49er fans have a lot of excitement in store for them this year.
I agree. It seems like, you know, a lot of, you know, we've had the last couple of seasons, the off season has been very tough. You know, we've had some trouble with the law. We've had retirements, a lot of changes in the personnel, and then obviously the coach. You know, there's just a lot of unrest. You know, we weren't able to get that Super Bowl when we got there a couple of years ago. And, you know, I know as a 49er fan, you know, everyone wants to see that Super Bowl trophy come home. But, you know, you don't just go to the Super Bowl. It's not easy to just go to the Super Bowl and win. And even though it's been hard in the off season, we've got to take a step back and take a look at what we have. And quite frankly, you know, this is still a team that's just loaded with talent.
Absolutely. Being the first team to win 5 Super Bowl championships, you know, we do tend to get a little bit spoiled. But, you know, coming to modern times now, look at what this team and organization did over the last 4 years. It's not many organizations that can say that, you know, they've done what this team did. So last year having the setback can be attributed to many situations. You know, whether it was the unrest of the front office with Coach Harbaugh, whatever. The bottom line is life goes on. The players, you know, yeah, we had some retirements, which we will talk about later, but at the end of the day, the foundation of this team is still there. The York and the leadership they've got up in their front office, and Kaepernick still is one of the top quarterbacks in the league, whether he's running or passing the football. And he's gotten better this offseason, as we said earlier. And they're still confident in what their abilities are and what this team has done over the last 3 or 4 years. So this year, with the subtle changes that has been made, once they're implemented, throughout these OTAs and training camp, this team is going to put itself in a position to rival the other NFC teams, to put themselves in a position to fight again in the NFC Championship. So the biggest thing for this team is, one, to stay healthy, because the leadership is there, from Anquan Boldin, you know, to Davis, you know, to Kaepernick. I believe Hyde and Bush is really going to grab a hold of that running back group and lead this offense, because this NFL is an offense-driven league. It's designed and it's been structured to score a lot of points. So our defense, I believe, you know, we'll talk about defense next week, but the offense is going to be able to score enough points, and it's going to be an exciting offense. We'll talk a little bit more about those details a little bit later, but as I said, put your seatbelts on, because this offense is going to ride, and they're going to ride strong this year.
Completely agree. One of the really encouraging headlines this week was Coach Tom Sula came out, and it seemed like the theme was tempo, tempo, tempo. How many times do we see over the last two seasons just seem to be so many things thrown in, whether it was from offensive coordinator Greg Roman, Kaepernick trying to audible at the line. Just it seemed like there were so many things coming in from this playbook, and it just seemed to bring that play clock all the way down to zero so many times. I don't think they want to let that happen anymore. And they realize we got to up the tempo. And everything that I'm hearing coming out of camp is tempo is so good. By the time they come out of the huddle, there's 23 seconds left. I mean, that's like, we were talking a little bit earlier, that's like Chip Kelly. So
absolutely,
I'm excited
absolutely.
To see that.
Absolutely. And, you know, one word that I can use first is simplification. One, incorporating a zone blocking scheme simplifies not just the offense, but the blocking schemes, the responsibilities of the running backs and the receivers and the tight ends, and the quarterback, as this offense develops this year. But what they're doing is something that I haven't seen, is incorporate the zone blocking schemes with the up-tempo style. Defenses are already going to have a tough time, because this offense is designed to neutralize those tremendous athletic big bodies on that defensive line, like you know, Sue for the Dolphins and our own Darnell Dockett. Those guys are so athletic that they can disrupt if they're rested and all, they can disrupt that line of scrimmage and into the backfield. So when you have an up tempo offense and a zone blocking scheme, that could be dangerous for a whole lot of defenses out there. So once this team gets through their OTAs, as I said, and get into that training camp, I'm telling you, what they're going to be able to do is going to be tremendous, because when they're not going to have to audible a lot, because, see, what zone blocking schemes do, it gives the running back an opportunity to read outside in. You know, when you look at the Denver Broncos back in the 90s, when Alex Gibb, although he didn't develop his own blocking scheme, it was run way back in World War II, but it was popularized in the 1990s. And what he did, Alex did with the Broncos, if you remember, there were three or four running backs, including Terrell Davis, that nobody knew about. And they may have been one-year wonders, but every one of them had 1,000 yards because of the implementation of the zone blocking scheme. All they had to do was read outside in. You know, you look at the defensive end. If he goes out, you go in. If he stays head up while the zone blocking is going on or jumps inside, you know what? You go outside. And these guys are running downhill, running fast. And that's why I believe Bush and Hyde are going to take total advantage of that. And you might have two guys that really could I'm sure one would definitely get over 1,000 yards. Who knows, maybe 1,500, 1,600, if not more. But the other one might clear 1,000 yards also, because Bush just offers a total different challenge, you know, to defenses. And going downhill, I believe it allows him to do what he did at USC. You know, he's still athletic. You know, I think he's refreshed being there, you know, with the 49ers. So, and we'll keep talking about the zone offense and talk more about how it works. But I'm telling you, all this is going to do is open up the Davises, you know, the Tories, the Boldens, to just expose defenses and allow Kaepernick. See, we hadn't even talked about Kaepernick. You know,
right.
I don't think there's been a quarterback. You know, you're talking about John Elway, who ran the zone blocking scheme and really had no threat of a run, and they still killed people with the run. Just imagine when you have the backs, the two top backs that we have, that are going to run crazy the way they're running. Offensive linemen are going to be more healthy because, you know, you're not telling one guy to block, you know, Sue from the Dolphins. You're not telling them to block Dockett. Thank goodness he's on our side now. You know, I think they're going to be healthy throughout the season, and you're going to have the running backs fresh because, once again, those running backs for the Denver Broncos, just as an example, ran all over team and very seldom got hit until they were, you know, 5 to 10 yards down the field. But then when you have Kaepernick, who is going to, I'm sure they're going to throw some design plays in there in the zone blocking scheme for him. You know, and Cap does something. He does something that I wish Michael Vick would have called Kaepernick and Russell Wilson up at some point during his career and said, can I come and spend a little time with you this summer, any summer? Show me how you can play this game, running the way you do, and get hit less, and don't get hit much. I mean, because these guys know how to do it. So what Kaepernick's going to do is continue to use that smart head he's got to know when to get down, when to get out of bounds. But I believe he's going to have bigger run plays this year than he's had in the past. So it's going to be exciting to see what this zone blocking scheme with the up tempo Philadelphia Eagle like offense is going to do for the 49ers.
I agree. I think one of the things that happened last year, when you take a look at why did the Niners regress so much? When the offensive line isn't functioning right. I remember Gene Upshaw. We're talking about his 76 Oakland Raiders when he played with Art Shell under John Madden. He said, you know, the offensive line is the basic heartbeat of the offense. If that heartbeat is not functioning, things do not go right. And last year, you know, with Anthony Davis going down and having to put Jonathan Martin out there, Alex Boone was not he was very rusty from holding out and not being involved in training camp. We had Daniel Kilgore get hurt week seven against Denver, and he's gone for the season. Had to throw a rookie in there. And when you have that problem on the offensive line, you can't get consistency. It's very, very difficult to maintain your blocking or to continue to open up running lanes for your running backs. And the other problem was with Vernon Davis banged up, we just did not have any speed last year. There were three guys that were about the same, Crabtree, Stevie Johnson, and Anquan Boldin. They were kind of the same guy. Nobody was there to really stretch the field. And so defenses did not respect it. They just played up. They could run blitz. They could send guys straight at Kaepernick, and the blocking wasn't there. I don't think they're going to be able to do that this year. Like what you're saying, you know, a zone blocking scheme. And one of the things that Coach Kamsu has been talking a lot about is simplifying the offense. Making it easy for Kaepernick to go through his progression and to start taking what the defense gives you. They're working on a lot of checkdowns. I'm seeing the fullbacks coming out of the backfield. You know, obviously Reggie Bush excels at that. And then when you got Torrey Smith and Vernon Davis stretching the defense, those safeties can't cheat up anymore. They got to stay back, which just opens everything up.
Oh, man, I tell you what, you just hit on so much. I don't even know if I can – you know, cover it all, but I try to start here first. Last year can be attributed to a number of things. Yes, that there was turmoil. Yes, there were offensive line injuries. And I tell you, one of the biggest injuries and setbacks was, you know, Davis just was not healthy, you know, throughout the whole year. And I'm going to tell you one of the most important positions that dates back to early football, and it sure was very, very important during, you know, the 49 years when I was there. You know, you had, you know, Jamie Williams and Brent Jones, you know, for the 49ers, and you had Jay Novacek,
right,
you know, for the Cowboys. And I mentioned those two because whoever, you know, played the NFC Championship game, you know, for 3 to 5 years pretty much was going to, you know, win the – and Navarro with the, you know, New York Giants was going to probably win the Super Bowl. And Davis couldn't find a better time to get back healthy. You know, once again, he's
right,
still – you know, Davis, he's still a receiver, you know, playing tight end. Knowing that we've got a guy like that and hopefully he'll stay healthy throughout the season, that's going to open up a whole lot of other things. And bringing Torrey Smith from Baltimore is crazy for the crazy good for the 49ers. I'm sure Anquan Boldin was smiling, you know, smiling in his sleep whenever he knew his boy was coming over from Baltimore. So, you know, if I'm looking and I'm designing that offensive playbook this year, and I see Smith outside and I see Anquan Boldin, you know, out there, you know, in the slot and or out wide, and I see, you know, Davis at tight end and, you know, the two horses back there in the backfield and Kaepernick and, you know, and I'm telling you, there's no more important guys, like you said before. The heartbeat of an offense is that offensive line. You know, I was fortunate enough to, in my opinion, one of the teams in college and pro right now that runs that zone blocking scheme better than anybody is Florida State. You know, Rick Trickett mm-hmm. brought it in along with Jimbo Fisher, and I was honored enough to, you know, be there with those two guys the first 3 years at Florida State, you know, when Coach Bowden brought all of us in there. And I always knew offensive linemen were very, very important. But Rick Trickett, that offensive line is a team in itself. They ride by a different heartbeat, and a different schedule. They're first on the field, last off the field, and those guys are more ready than anybody, and they're ready for any specific situation that can arise. So, you know, again, I might be repetitive in some of the things that I'm saying, but what Torrey Smith brings and Davis being healthy, what that opens up for Boldin, and opens up for just with the zone blocking scheme that it brings in itself. I really don't think I've seen anything like this in the league before. An up-tempo offense and a blown zone blocking scheme with the talent of Smith outside, you know, to go along
right.
with Anquan Boldin that defies time. You know, he said a statement today this week, I believe, that I read, where, you know, they talked about his contract being up. And the way he, you know, I couldn't find a better answer than what he gave. He's not worrying about a contract year. He's not worrying about, you know, after the season. He's worrying about right now. He's not worrying about getting more money. He's not, you know, I like the way he thinks, which
yep.
is, you know what, hey, I do my job. And you know what, hey, at the end of the day, if it's good enough, then great, pay me. You know, if not, you know, he didn't say this, but I'm saying it. You know, the man has brought a lot, you know, to the 49ers and gets open with the least amount of speed that I've ever seen anybody, you know, get open, you know, with. I mean,
you know who
he reminds me of? You know who he reminds me of? And
exactly.
and I cannot believe he hadn't even got any talk of the Hall of Fame. He reminds me of Lynn Swann and Stallworth. Stallworth finally got his recognition when
right.
Lynn Swann finally kept saying that my boy needs to be in the Hall of Fame. And you know what? And they finally, I guess, watched enough film and realized how important this guy was. But I love Jerry. Jerry, in my opinion, still is arguably the best player, you know, ever at any position. But
right.
John Taylor did some things out there that I see Anquan Boldin doing. Now, I still say John Taylor was in a league by his own. When you're opposite a receiver like Jerry Rice and still do what he did, it's incredible what John Taylor was able to do. That dude needs to be getting some Hall of Fame consideration, and soon. You know, they've always said, you know, give a man his flowers while, you know, he lives. I'm telling you, John Taylor, somebody needs to, you know, get on the horn. You know, we finally got, you know, one Hall of Famer finally in, you know, Haley, who should have been in there.
Right.
But I'm telling you, along with Mr. D and John Taylor, those two guys, you know, got to get in there and get in there soon. But nonetheless, I kind of got off track a little bit. But nonetheless, I guess I'm trying to say, I'm trying to look at all the points and positions on this offense for 49er fans to be excited about this year. And, you know, what Anquan has brought us the last, you know, couple years, I don't think anybody really expected that when he came in, other than myself, because he's a Seminole and I know what he brings to the table. You know, but,
exactly.
But nonetheless, man, I'm excited. You know, I'm over here on the East Coast and I got to get out to, you know, San Francisco so I can see my boys play, man. But whenever I think about that last thing, and I'm going to let you, you know, take over, but, the offense, I guarantee you, I know what they're, you know, preaching to these running backs and linemen, you know, as they go through the process of, you know, we're running the ball to the right, you know what, we're blocking zone, you're stepping to the right, and somebody's in the gap, you know, two guys, you got the center and guard, you got the guy that's head up the center or in the middle, you know, of the guard and center, and you guys go up and get the backer. So they run wide zone tight and say, hey, hide. You run it out. If they force you in, you run in. But there's no need for you to hesitate, stop, or pause. If they tackle you, they tackle you. Let's go to the huddle, jump out of the huddle with 20 seconds left, call the play, and let's go with it, running downhill. So it is
right. Exciting,
man. I actually wish they'll bring me out there and let me, you know, help install that zone blocking scheme. But you know what? You never know one day, right?
That's right. We got about 5 to 7 minutes left of the live show, and then the last 15 we'll switch over to the archive for the live listeners. Want to get into the retirements a little bit. A lot of unrest. It seems like we have a retirement every month. It's kind of rough. I did see a funny spoof that says Sourdough Sam retired. So hopefully our mascot doesn't retire. But, you know, there's obviously a lot of, you know, there's unrest among the fan base. Some of the fans want to say that, well, this is because they got rid of Jim Harbaugh and they're protesting the ownership. But, you know, if you look at each retirement, Justin Smith has been contemplating retirement for 2 years. He says his shoulder is just not functional the way it used to. He had a healthy year last year, but he did not want to be a part-time player, you know, where he had to constantly get spelled on the bench. And so you can see this coming. Patrick Willis said his feet just don't work anymore. You know, he's been struggling. Everybody knew he had turf toe for a couple of years, and then what happened last year in the St. Louis game. You know, it happens. Anthony Davis, people don't realize the kind of concussion he had. He had a back injury, and then he came back and took a nasty concussion. And it just got weirder and weirder. The longer he was out, it was like, what is going on with Anthony Davis? Why isn't he practicing? Why isn't he out there? And then there just wasn't a lot of talk about it. And all of a sudden, they said he's just not recovering from this concussion. And he said, it's really scary when your brain is not working right. And he felt like he was in a white fog. So you can see where,
Absolutely. Hey,
that's a possibility to take a look at retiring. And then Chris Borland, it came out that he was really only planning on playing for 1 year. His dad even came out and said that. So, I mean, it's a bummer that we happened to draft him and it didn't work out for us. But all four of these retirements, I don't know. What do you think, Dexter? I mean, is there any truth at all that this could be just in protest, or is it more likely that these guys are just looking out for their futures?
You know what? I think, one, rest assured, 49er fans, This has nothing to do with the unrest of the front office last year. It had nothing to do with Harbaugh. And I think each player individually has their own story. But they all had a valid reason for retiring. I know someone, you look at Anquan and you wonder, man, why is he still playing? But the bottom line is he loves the game. These other guys love the game. But each one of them, as I said, deals with their own story. And just ironically, they all happen to retire, the same year. None of us know when that day is. None of us want it to be when it does happen, but it just happened to be for four guys this year. But the bottom line is this. NFL has always been known, and I learned it early on, in my career that, NFL means not for long. And you never know when you're going to go out. You can go out 1 year, 7 years, or after 15 years. But nonetheless, it will happen, and a team will transition. And if you don't transition, the team will transition you. So, Patrick Willis, he said his feet weren't working. When we watch him play, we never saw that because we can't identify with that. But Patrick knew it. So it was his time to go. The back and the concussions, it's not necessarily someone looking out for their own best interest, but the bottom line is you have to, take advice from, your physicians. Then you have to evaluate your situation, and then you move forward. It has nothing to do with where the organization is and where the organization is going. The organization will still do well, still going to be in the playoffs and have a chance to, win week to week and go to the NFC Championship game and hopefully the Super Bowl. So I say, let's thank those gentlemen for the time that they gave us. Welcome them back whenever they come back. But let's move forward with the guys that we do have because we've got some quality players. They put this 49er front office, and people are in position have brought players in that is going to make the 49ers competitive on the football field. And so it's a lot of exciting things going on. So, once again, let's thank those guys, but let's move forward because that's where the game is. Everybody's going to move forward at some point. Hey, be optimistic. We got Torrey Smith in here. We've got a healthy Anquan Boldin. We've got a healthy Davis, and we're getting a healthy Carlos Hyde, and we've got, in my opinion, I'm telling you, a steal for us is Reggie Bush. I'm just being honest. The dude, he's still young. He's still electrifying.
He definitely plays
the way that
he looks young.
Oh, I'm telling you, he does. If I was reincarnated, really, that's the kind of player that I, would have liked to have become. A lot of things attributed to that, but I love this guy. I love what he's doing. And Kaepernick, I'm sorry, if you don't believe it, he's, in my opinion, he's still one of the top 3 to 5 quarterbacks in the league, and to me, that's a positive thing.
He certainly has the
new
potential
head coach
to be that.
Absolutely, absolutely, and it's all about potential, but the bottom line is, let's not equate Kaepernick on the money that he's getting. This is the field and the business that he's in. Let's judge him based on his on the field play. And I think based on what he's done, why he's been in the league, if the market bears that amount, then he deserves to get it. Let's support him. Let him take the reins of this new offense. And and break the league record in points scored in 1 year, which I believe that this team can do with the new key elements that they have with the zone blocking scheme and the up-tempo offense.
Right. We got about a minute left of live time. We'll be switching over to archive time. Before we get into the direction we think the rest of the offense is going to take, Dexter, why don't you tell us a little bit, just a couple of minutes, tell us, what's the difference between the way the offseason is now? We never heard about OTAs, never heard that kind of stuff, never heard about mini camps. It was just maybe some training camp stuff, but what was it like going into the 94 season, coming off two NFC championship losses, trying to catch the Cowboys, bringing in some free agents, and tell us what that was like and what the mindset was.
Well, the 94 season, we just came off of two back-to-back seasons losing in the NFC Championship game, similar to what the 49ers, you know, were in prior to last year against the Cowboys, and we just couldn't get by them. Well, Mr. D at the Bartolo, you know, decided, you know what, hey, I'm going to equip you with everything this year that you want, so there can be no excuses. We had some key, you know, parts to that team, but we went out and, you know, a lot of people say we had a dream team, and we surely did rent a number of guys for 1 year. You know, the Richard Dents, right. The Charles Manns, the and you can help me out here, Ricky Jackson, Deion Sanders. I mean, guys were just, you know, and Ken Norton and Gary Plummer had just came over. So we always had the thought coming into mini camps and to training camp in the season that, one, we only had one thing on our mind, and the preparation had that in mind in everything that we did. So it was no different feeling like we were going to the Super Bowl. But that year, bringing in the additional parts to the team, we were able to do what we had to do during mini camps, which are now OTAs, and training camp, and going into the season. And I'm telling you, you know, the little swagger that Deion brought in and William Floyd brought in as a rookie fullback gave us that little edge that we needed that the 49ers accepted, because, you know, we 49ers usually isn't about that swagger. But we went right that year, you know, with Deion and William Floyd. You know, you even saw Jerry Rice and Steve Young every now and then get jiggy with it, you know, got a little funky. And
right.
You know, and you know, it paid off, because we ran through, you know, we lost three games, you know, but other than that, we ran
one
through,
of them,
you know, the league,
everybody.
And I'm sorry?
One of them, they sat everybody down at the end of the year.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. So, you know what? What a great year. But, you know, as I look at the team this year, you know, gotta say, why not? You know, look where you were prior to last year. You know, you still got quality players, you know, competitive players. And that, once again, we'll talk about defense another night, but tonight was offense. You got so many optimistic things about this offense that are happening that I'm telling you, what we felt back then in the 1994 season, I don't see why this team here shouldn't be preaching in that locker room. Why not be the first team to play the Super Bowl in our home stadium? Why not?
Yes.
As a matter of fact,
why
that
not
should
us?
Be what they, that should be what they should be saying in the locker room. Why not us?
Yep, I completely agree. You know, as we move into you know, the rest of the offense, you know, we'd already talked about, you know, Anquan Boldin is clearly the leader of the receiving core. He's definitely our possession receiver. We got Torrey Smith outside. He's the guy that can blow the cover off the defenses, keep the safeties back. Vernon Davis can do the same thing. He can work under the middle, or he can also do like his favorite deep seam route. With Torrey Smith on the outside. And then you got other young guys out there. You know, there's a lot of talk that Quentin Patton is going to take his step forward to be the number three guy. And this is a guy that, boy, if he could stay healthy, he's got a lot of upside. He's got speed. He's got smarts. And I remember the one-handed catch at the end of the 2013 season against Arizona that essentially sealed the game. And we capped off our season at 12-4. I mean, this is a guy that's got a lot of potential. And then there's Bruce Ellington, second-year guy. Got him back there.
Oh, yeah.
Another guy. Right. And other guy that they're talking about is Kendall Hunter's back from injury, and they're saying he looks good. He's looking fast.
Yes.
You know, and so it sounds like they're going to be doing like a three-headed monster in the backfield. They're not going to exhaust anybody. I expect, you know, Carl Hyde to get at least 10 carries a half or in the first half. Maybe Bush get a couple, but there just seems to be so much depth. There's so many options, so many things to work with, and if this team stays healthy and the offensive line is there, it just looks to me like this team can compete with just about anybody in the NFC. I don't really see a huge divide between these other teams if this team is healthy.
Absolutely. You know, whenever I think about the offense and I think about the offensive sets and formations and whether you go 3-by-1, 2-by-2, I'm trying to see who is going to play Torrey Smith, you know, one-on-one, because they have to. Mm-hmm. Whether they're in cover 2 or cover 3, when you've got a Davis that can go down the middle of the field or down the seam and hold that middle safety, how are they going to double Torrey Smith?
I know.
How are they going to take and make sure that Anquan doesn't hit those zones? Because Anquan is great about finding the open spot, those zones. And with everybody healthy, and then you talked about the number 3 and number 4 receiver. I'm telling you, if everyone stays healthy, and Davis does exactly what a tight end does, which is, I'm sorry, he's not supposed to do what you call a receiver tight end mix does because of his speed and his ability to get
right
open and catch the ball. Safeties have to, you know what, they can't cheat, because if they cheat, they're going to get burnt by Davis, you know. And
mm-hmm.
if they play it true, Torrey Smith, there's not many corners out there that are going to – that Torrey Smith is not going to beat. And Anquan can get open. And even with his speed, you've still seen Anquan, because of his exceptional route running, behind
yes.
DBs. So I'm sitting here and I'm almost becoming speechless, because I'm getting excited about the possibilities. And see, and that's what the 49er fans should be thinking about, not thinking and creating things to worry about. For example, you know, the retirements. Is that a sign that the organization or the team is going down? No, trust me, this team has too much life and too many positive things in its favor this year that we're gonna have a lot of things to cheer about.
I agree. I definitely agree. Part of the problem is with Harbaugh, we kind of knew what we had. We kind of figured we had a really good shot to get back to the NFC Championship every year. I think where a lot of this unrest is coming from is we just don't know. We've never seen Jim Tom Sula coach. We've never seen, we've never had Reggie Bush. We've always had Anthony Davis. We've always had, and so there's just a lot of unknowns. I think that's kind of the source of the unrest.
That's true, but you know what? That's why we all have too many gray hairs. Because we're worried about things that we shouldn't be. You know, Florida State was concerned because Jimbo Fisher was never a head coach. Do you think they're worrying about it now? No. You know, there's got to be a first for everything. As a rookie, you know, and I started half the season. Well, you wonder, how did that happen? Well, one, it, hard work. And two, I had a great quarterback that, truly believed in my abilities, in Joe Montana and Mike Holmgren. So what I'm saying is,
right.
you know, trust the things that are in place, you know, and don't
yeah.
worry about things that you cannot control. That's what gives gray hair. I was good for a number of years, but here in the last few years, man, I got a lot of gray hair. That's why I keep my hair cut low, you know. So we don't want the fans to have to cut their hair because they're worried. You know, just imagine how many teams in the NFL aren't in a position at this juncture of the offseason
right.
that we're in. We have a lot of optimistic things, you know, to move forward with. So, you know, forget about, you know, the inward fight of last year between coach and front office.
It's over.
I love Harbaugh. He gave us some great years, and you know what? And I'd rather have had him than not had him at all. You know, I just wish we could have won that Super Bowl, but nonetheless, he gave us, you know, he was way, way more positive for us than not. But at some point, you know what? Hey, you got to sever ties, and it's, you know, I learned that early on with the great players I played with. You know, great players are going to move on. great coaches are going to move on. You know, let's deal with the here and now. It's either you're good or you're not. Either you've got good potential or you don't. This team has both. You know, they're in a good position.
Agreed.
And they have good talent that could end up being great if it all fits together. So, hey, let's have a because I'm a firm believer, and you know I try to be as optimistic as I can, and I do believe that we are those that we hang around. You know, we feel what those feel around us. So you know what, as a 49er nation, let's be optimistic. Let's be positive. Now, you know, we're going to speak the truth. You know, if we think that, you know, hey, and I know personally, hey, you know what, if I'm not playing up the part, our 49er fans are going to say it. You know what? But we do know that they support us, you know, but they have a certain expectation. So right now the expectation is high, but we've got a system in place that where all of our players can reach their potential. We just have to stay healthy, and we have to be focused and work together as a team. And when I say a team, you know, that's the, you know, players themselves and, you know, as a 49er nation. You know, we have enough naysayers out there that are going to say what we can't do. Why don't we focus on the positive things that we can focus on, you know, as a nation? So that's what I would say to our faithful, you know, here tonight.
Agreed. Well, we've got a couple minutes left. There is something that I want to pitch right away. Dana Stubblefield, his wife, is having an event. If you're in the San Jose area, Terry Stubblefield is having an event for her. It's her one-year anniversary of her jewelry store called Beyond Treasures. It's going to be a free of charge. There's going to be champagne, refreshments, door prizes. You get to meet local sports celebrities, including our own Dana Stubblefield and Dennis Brown. It's free of charge, and it's at 1605 Meridian Avenue, San Jose, California. And there's also a one-day only 40% off anniversary sale. So I want to throw that out there. If you're in the San Jose area, go support the Stubblefields, and I think you'll have a great time. Just a couple minutes left. I want to give Dexter a chance to pitch his to what he's doing, and then when I promote the last part of the show.
Okay, yeah. And before I say that, you know, big ups to Dennis Brown and Dana Stubblefield, who were you know, two of my great teammates and two of those immovable defensive linemen that I was talking about earlier. You know, there are two of the reasons why there's zone blocking schemes. You know, but
right.
but yeah. I am the athletic director at an old boys school, here June 22nd. You know, I'm the also the camp director for our summer program. You know, with the academic focus and athletics, and lacrosse is a sport that we're implementing this summer for our next sport. So I'm excited about bringing lacrosse to our program. Next year, we're actually opening up an all-girls school. The boys' school is Valor Academy of Leadership, and the girls' school is called Virtue Arts and Sciences. I'm excited about, continuing to mentor, you know, young people, you know, it's a college preparatory academic school, and we're building it to be a college preparatory athletic program also. You know, some of the same things that gave me the opportunity, you know, to reach, you know, my athletic, you know, goals and to, and to have a master's in business management that I have today. But, you know, it comes from having great mentors. So, we'll talk more about it, you know, as time comes. But that's what I'm doing right now and coaching my, you know, I have a son that just graduated from high school and, getting ready to, head off to prep school before he goes to college. And younger, you know, boys that I'm coaching now, 7 and 8 years old. So I'm busy. I am extremely
excellent.
Busy.
That's great. We'll be definitely talking more about that in future shows. And before we get off the air here, just want to say that I believe that we're going to have a boxing show with Coach Goodpasture on
on Tuesday. That's guest will be announced. Next Thursday's guest will be announced, and then in 2 weeks we'll have the Nigerian Nightmare, Christian Okoye, with Mike and I for our NFL show, and Dexter and I will be our next 49ers show will be announced. So